السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ما بعد. As we wind down this blessed month of Ramadan, and we do not know how many more Ramadans each and every one of us has, and in this month, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, I have no doubt that every one of us sitting here has increased our rituals and our worship, and has diminished and decreased the quantity of our sins. Alhamdulillah. So before we finish this month, it behooves us to remind ourselves of some of the benefits of remaining in this state that we are currently in, and of conquering our sins and our desires that we have done during this month. We're about to wind down, 4 days left, that's it. And then when this month is over, Shaitan's gonna come to us and seduce us, entice us to return to our previous lifestyles. And that's where the real challenge will begin. So let us remind ourselves of some of many of the negative repercussions of the sins that we commit. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of our greatest ulama, he has written a very deep and profound treatise about the effects of sins, and he has discussed many dozens of the consequences of sins. Obviously, time is limited, but we can summarize some of those points. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that, subhanAllah, we can even begin with the story of Adam alayhi salam, that what caused our father Adam to be expelled from the Garden of Jannah except one morsel of haram, one morsel, one luqma that he did, that Allah did not allow him. And because of that, Allah Azza wa Jal did what Allah justly did. One luqma. And Iblis, what was his sin? One command he disobeyed, but he did it out of arrogance, whereas Adam did it out of desire, and the two are very different. Iblis did it out of arrogance, and because of that, Iblis became the la'een, the cursed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. He became one thrown out of Allah's mercy. One sin. Because it was arrogance, it was much worse than Adam, and Iblis became who he became. What are the consequences of the sins that are done on previous generations? Because of the shirk of the people of Nuh, Allah sent the entire flood on an earth to get rid of that shirk. Because of the tyranny of previous generations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed tribe after tribe. The people of Ad, the people of Hud, the people of Thamud, all of these people were destroyed, and their civilizations were far mightier than those of the Quraysh. Because of their arrogance, their tajabbur, their kibr, because of them robbing the highways and doing all types of fitna and fasad. And Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that each individual Muslim should think about the consequences of sin in his or her life, so that this acts as an incentive. You know, when we study evil, we study it for the sake of avoiding it. It is a part of our religion to study such evil. What is shirk? What is kufr? What are the consequences of sins? We study them just like our children are taught the dangers of smoking, the dangers of drugs, the dangers of alcohol. They're taught by the government. Why? Because when you're taught these dangers, it opens your eyes. It acts as an incentive. So we, O Muslims, need to study the dangers of disobeying Allah, so that it acts as an incentive for us, so that we don't go down this path. Of the dangers of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Ibn al-Qayyim says that this one danger, this one repercussion is enough for us to be somebody who does not commit sins. Of the dangers of committing sins is that when we commit sins, we remove from our hearts the majesty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. We would not be committing sins if Allah Azza wa Jal and His taqwa occupied in our hearts the level that it deserves. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ. They didn't put Allah the way that Allah deserves. Allah speaks of those who reject Him. But anybody who commits a sin, partially at least, this ayah applies to all of us. We seek Allah's refuge. If we had the taqwa of Allah the way that Allah deserves, and if we were conscious of Allah the way that Allah deserves, we would not be committing sins. So when we commit sins, we are demonstrating to ourselves that our level of taqwa and our level of iman has fallen short. We are diminishing the majesty that Allah Azza wa Jal is worthy of in our hearts. Of the consequences of sins is that the number one factor to erode our iman, to diminish our iman, is committing sins. In other words, you are literally chipping away at the iman that you have. Every sin that you do, it is as if you're taking an axe and with your own hands, you're destroying your tree of iman. We all have the tree of iman. That's why we're here. That's exactly why we're here. We value this tree. We love this tree. The wise person protects his investment, and we have no investment more precious than iman. We have no treasure that is more sacred to us than iman. What would we say of a person who all of his money is in the bank, he goes and he takes it out and he starts throwing it away in the air with his own hands? How foolish is that person? But then when we commit sins, we are intentionally diminishing our iman. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Because of what they do, their hearts are rusting. Notice how Allah correlates the actions with the heart. Because of what they do, their hearts are rusting. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that every time we follow a desire, every time we follow a shahwa or a shubha, a disease that we should not, Shaitan comes and he pokes a dark spot in our hearts. And as we continue following, the heart becomes darker and darker and darker until finally our Prophet ﷺ said, some hearts are so dark and murky. They are like, you know, the pool that has mud in it. He compared it to that. You know, the type of pool that you find in the desert that is so dirty you don't want to drink from it. That type, he compared it to that. The heart becomes murky because all it's done is just keep on following desire after desire after desire. So when we follow our desires and let loose in this regard, we are with our own hands destroying our iman, and that is not a sign of wisdom. As well, of the consequences of sins, is that what sins do is that they cause us to divert from our purpose of existence. Allah created us to worship Him, to praise Him. Allah created us to worship Him and praise Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. When we commit sins, we are diverting from our purpose of worship, and we're neglecting Allah Azza wa Jal. And what does Allah say? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. What does it mean to forget about Allah? It means to forget the rights of Allah. What happens when we forget about Allah? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ. What's the next phrase? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah caused them to forget themselves. This is one of the most psycho-spiritually profound verses in the Quran. When we neglect Allah, we neglect ourselves. When we forget about Allah, we forget about ourselves. When we remove Allah from the picture, we remove ourselves. In other words, our purpose of being here becomes meaningless. Now, of course, the ayah primarily applies to the kafir who rejects Allah. But realize, what are sins except the stepping stones to kufr? What are sins except the ladder that takes us down into the pit of kufr? That's what sins are. Sins are literally stepping stones, because kufr is the biggest of all sins. Shirk and kufr are the largest sins. So every sin that we do, it is partially coming under this verse, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal describes the one who commits a sin is a jahil. This is a observation from Allah, that Allah says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةً. Allah will accept the repentance of the sinner who does a sin in the state of jahala, and then he repents to Allah. Ibn Abbas said, every sinner, memorize this, every sinner is a jahil. Every sinner is an ignoramus. Because if he knew Allah, he wouldn't commit the sin. By new, we don't mean a knowledge of the mind. We need a knowledge of the heart. Every sinner is a jahil. May Allah forgive us. We are all juhal when we commit sins because we have neglected Allah. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. When you forget about Allah, you forget about yourself. وَلَا تَكُنُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَرَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Of the repercussions of sins as well, is that sins remove haya and modesty from our hearts. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you have no haya, what's the end of the hadith? You will do whatever you want. There is nothing that's going to stop you. Haya is our conscience. Haya is our conscience. If we destroy our haya, we have no conscience. And when we commit sins, we are intentionally destroying our haya. Our Prophet ﷺ said, haya is the essence of iman. Al-haya'u min al-iman. Our Prophet ﷺ said, every Every religion has a khuluq and a characteristic, and that characteristic of Islam is haya. Haya, modesty, being conscious that there are, like we wouldn't do something when people are watching, we should realize Allah is watching. In the famous hadith of Bahz ibn Hakim, he said, O Messenger of Allah, can I take my garments off? So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're with the people, no, you cannot do that. He said, O Messenger of Allah, what if I am all alone? What if I'm all alone? And he said, Allahu ahaqqu an yustahya min. Don't walk around your house in the nakedness. Don't do that without any reason. Obviously, bath showers is something else. But don't make it a lifestyle. Why? Because Allah is watching. Have haya from Allah. Now, technically, it is halal if you're alone. It's not a sin. But we are inculcating haya in our hearts in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice this, even for the mubah, but dignity, dignified, decency. How about the indecent? How about the undignified? How about the haram if we do it? Where will our haya go? So this is of the consequences of sins, that our haya will be destroyed. And if our haya is destroyed, we will not have any conscience left. Wal-iyadu billah. Of the consequences of sins is that when we commit sins, then Allah Azza wa Jal will take away blessings that He has given us. And this is one of the most terrifying consequences in this world. Dear brothers and sisters, multiple verses in the Quran, of them one of the most oft quoted verses, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. You know what this verse was revealed for? You know what is the purpose of this verse? The primary interpretation. Allah will never take a blessing away unless the people themselves have done something to deserve that blessing being taken away. Allah will never take a blessing away unless the people have done something because of which they deserve that blessing to be taken away. So a change in our situation and status, a change in anything that happens of good to negative, it is because of the consequences of our sins. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ. Any musibah that happens, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. It's because of what your own hands have done. And yes, through it Allah will forgive if we turn to Allah. This is Allah's mercy. He punishes us for the sins, but even in that punishment, it's a mini punishment of this dunya that will protect us of the akhirah if we return back to Allah. But no punishment comes down in this dunya except that it is a consequence of what we ourselves have done. And of the consequences of sins, and this must be said especially during this time, is that even communal punishments come down because of communal sins. Private punishment in our own lives, private sins. But when sins become public, and especially the sins of injustice, dhulm, if a society is guilty of dhulm, or it is guilty of lewdness, fahsha, and it becomes public, and it becomes well known, and it becomes acceptable to do such sins in the open, then our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah's punishment is going to come on everybody. And even though it is politically incorrect to say, but wallahi, we are people of iman and faith, and we will say it even if it is politically incorrect. There is no question that this global crisis is a result of global sins. There is no question. Because it's not possible. This is what our religion tells us. It's what the Quran tells us. It's what the Sunnah tells us. You don't get pandemics and plagues unless the globe or large segments, not every individual, I've given multiple khutbahs about this, but collectively, too much wrong has been going on for too long, too publicly. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not allow that to go unchecked. Allah does not allow injustice and callousness, and to ignore hundreds and thousands of people, the refugees and the poor people, and to commit fahsha openly. These sins don't go unchallenged, and eventually the punishment is communal, even if not every individual is guilty, as I explain in more detailed khutbahs. Now, time is limited. Let me get straight to the end of this short khatira. Indeed, as Ibn al-Qayyim says, every single calamity of this world and the next is a result of our sins. However, certain things, as we finish this month, we need to remind ourselves of. Look, brothers and sisters, we are not angels. I am not an angel. I am a sinner and you are a sinner. Allah didn't create us to be sinless. That's not the goal. We're not going to be perfect. But certain things must be avoided under all circumstances. Number one, publicizing your sins. Our Prophet ﷺ said, Allah shall forgive all of my ummah except those who publicize their sins. A sin should be done even if you're going to do it. Don't boast. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't tell other people about it. Have some haya, at least in front of Allah, that you're not going to tell the other people. Do not publicize your sins. Number two, brothers and sisters, no matter what sin you have done, no matter what sin you have done, never ever stop making istighfar. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah will not punish them as long as they're making istighfar. Always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what sin you've done. Number three, never ever be arrogant, because the sins of lusts and desires may be forgiven, but the sin of arrogance is never forgiven. Never be too arrogant that Allah is not going to forgive me. There's no point becoming religious. That is the essence of arrogance. Arrogance is the sin of Iblis. Allah will not forgive Iblis. Lust, our father Adam lusted and he repented and Allah forgave. This is not a justification, but if a sin happens, then ask Allah's forgiveness. And the final point, dear Muslims, realize that the goal is not perfection. The goal is to continuously struggle. The goal is to always come back to Allah. He is the Tawwab. The goal is to raise your hands and say, Rabbi adhnabtu dhanban faghfirli. No matter how many times you commit a sin, always ask Allah for forgiveness. And I'll conclude with a hadith, which is an authentic hadith, and it's an amazing hadith, which is reported in the Majma' al-Zawaid of Al-Haythami and others with an authentic isnad. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that there is no believer, and he mentioned mu'min, high level, except that he has a sin that he returns to every once in a while. Min kulli faynatin wa fayn. Every once in a while, he'll go back to that sin. He's going to slip in. Everybody has some issue or problem that Allah is testing him with. And he'll try, but then he'll slip back in. Then he'll try again, then he'll slip back in. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and the believer is created to be tested and tried. And the believer is created nasiyya, he forgets all the time. إِذَا ذُكِّرَ ذَكَرَ. When he is reminded, he takes that remembrance and benefits from it. This is a hadith that tells us, oh Muslims, nobody's perfect. And every one of us has a sin we're struggling with. Every once in a while, we might slip into some addiction, some problem. But then what did the Prophet ﷺ say? But the believer, when he's reminded, he remembers, he becomes awake, and he tries to become better. This is an authentic hadith. As long as you're trying, and as long as you're struggling, and as long as you return to Allah, then don't lose hope. We're not going to be perfect, dear brothers and sisters. The goal is not to be an angel. The goal is to strive for perfection, knowing we're never going to get there. As Ramadan finishes, let us make it a strong desire, an intention, ahem. Let us make it a part of our resolve that insha'Allah ta'ala, I will master as many sins as I can to not do them. And if it so happens I slip, I will ask Allah's forgiveness and try my best to not go back for as long as possible. And if I slip, then I'll ask Allah again. And if I slip, then I'll ask Allah again. And I will never stop doing that until the day I die. Because Allah is not asking for perfection, but Allah is asking for repentance and tawbah. And that's what we're going to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the tawabin and accept our repentance. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. الله وبركاته.